Nick Ashew on the Fan, and we have information on what happened to Marcus Mariota's knee. According to Adam Schefter, Marcus Mariota suffered a sprained MCL, and it's likely going to sideline him for the remainder of, drumroll please, just the preseason. So luckily it's not as severe, which is, and credit Tailgate Ted if you're still listening, buddy. He tweeted me earlier and he said, I have cautious optimism here. Something along those lines. And you know what? I'm glad he was optimistic because I was scared to death. It's just like, oh my God, here we go, another injury. So a sprained MCL, but again, that can get worse. And we know that this team is insanely cautious with injuries, which I don't have a problem with. I know it can be frustrating at times, but we've watched sprained MCLs turn into something a lot worse with a knee injury, right? It happens a bunch. Calf injuries can turn into torn Achilles, so that's why Nick Allegretti is in a spot where you have to take that cautiously. We've just gotten past the point in sports where we just look at injuries and go, oh, play hurt. No. You can play if something hurts, maybe, but not if you're injured. I mean, there is a difference there, and you've got to watch about, like, it's got to be about the entire season because Marcus Mariota is important to this team should Jaden Daniels get hurt. I know he technically played in all 17 games last year, but he missed, or 2 years ago, but he missed time. And Marcus Mariota looked good in limited action, right? Think about the comeback win. It's all they were doing, but it did against Dallas. Last season was different. Like, you're not, here's the thing. When people are like, I don't know why people care. I got tweets about that yesterday. Like, I don't know why you care. Marcus Mariota won one game for us. Yeah, because he's a backup quarterback. But here's the thing. He's a better backup quarterback than most in the NFL. There's a reason why he's a backup, though. And if you look around the NFL, guys that are backups, other than maybe Mac Jones right now, who's likely going to be a starter after the season somewhere else, they're backups for a reason. Because the downgrade from Marcus Mariota for the Commanders to Sam Hartman or Ethan Kaliakmanis is really bad. It's a really bad drop-off. They need somebody like Marcus Mariota out there if you're going to have a quarterback in Jaden Daniels that, look, has an injury history. We got to be honest with ourselves. Every time we talk about this organization and the future of it and where, whatever, you got to have the prerequisite of Jaden Daniels being healthy. And yes, that is going to change the team no matter what if he misses extended time. But if you've got somebody in Marcus Mariota that could start, and Jaden's going to like miss a game, right? Like, oh, he twisted his ankle and they're going to sit him out a week just to make sure. Aren't you more comfortable with Marcus Mariota than Ethan Kaliakmanis or Sam Hartman starting? Yeah. So Marcus Mariota is important to this team. Is he a starting quarterback? No. Is he a good backup? Yes. He also had to work with nothing last year. I mean nothing. Everybody was hurt. He had nobody to throw to. The offensive line was decimated at times. You had bad play calling. I mean, there was a lot of problems there. Now, does that mean that Marcus Mariota is a starter in the right system? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, still one of the better backups in the NFL. And it helps because it can keep the offense a little bit more similar than if you had some quarterback that stood around and was a pocket passer. Like, you have to think about these types of things. So this team is in a much better spot now that Marcus Mariota, according to Adam Schefter, is only going to be missing the rest of the preseason. And it makes you just go, all right, Wes, do this with me. Ready? We're just going to take a deep breath. I know you're a Texans fan. You feel better. I feel better.
That's a roof for the Commanders.
Well, that I know you do.
Say this. Kelly McManus is not bad.
He's not bad, but he's a rookie late-round pick. I don't want him out there starting games for them this year. If we rush first-round pick quarterbacks out on the field too often, you definitely could do that for a late-round pick, okay? I'm with you. It doesn't mean that he can't develop. I love the pick. Like, I think for the Commanders to have a developmental quarterback on the roster is great. But you don't want him forced into a situation where week three against Seattle, Jaden's hurt, and you got to start a rookie seventh-round pick at quarterback. Can't have that.
Of course. And he looked better than Hartman.
He did.
And Hartman has been here for a while.
I think we know who Sam Hartman is. He's a handsome guy with great hair, but he's probably not an NFL quarterback. He might be in the UFL. And
he's,
you know what?
27 years old. Kyle McManus is 22.
Yeah. I think it would be shocking to me if Sam Hartman was kept on this roster at this point. It is what it is. And
honestly,
I know he's Jaden's buddy, but like, there's a certain point where it's just time to move on.
Hartman might not even go to the UFL. He's just going to modeling.
Yeah, I mean, he could. He's got great hair. I wish I could grow my hair like that. I tried it during the pandemic. I just looked like...
You got any pictures?
I was on TV. I have screen grabs of it. You might find it. I don't know if you find it. It was when I was doing the Caps pre and post game, and we weren't allowed to get haircuts. Really? I looked like Wolverine. I remember Grant actually telling me, he was like, "You look like Wolverine." I'm like, "I can't get a haircut anywhere, dude. Shut up." It looked really poofy. But you have to get through the awkward stage if you grow your hair like that, right? If you want to have Sam Hartman hair, you got to let it grow. Like, you got to let the whole thing just grow all the way out. I don't know if there's any pictures of it on the internet specifically. I have it, but it doesn't matter. The woman that cuts my hair, I've shown her before and she laughs. But anyway, that's not what anybody cares about. Sam Hartman's hair you might care about, though. But Marcus Mariota sprained MCL, so it's likely the rest of the preseason, which, you know, that means now what you're probably going to see is they may sign another quarterback just to at least have in camp, and maybe it's Jeff Driskel, who's on the free agent market, and he's been with the organization before, obviously. And you give Hartman and Kelly McManus an opportunity to fight for that third spot, and Jeff Driskel's out there, and maybe he's the third string, and you put one of those other guys on the practice squad, right? Like, that's kind of the direction this team goes, which, you know, in a lot of ways is good, because it allows for a little more depth as opposed to stretching them so thin. Now that Mariota's only going to miss the preseason with a sprained MCL, you're in a better spot to, you know, as an organization, really just evaluate the young quarterbacks that you've... Well, I'd say young, but again, at this point, again, it's Sam Hartman. So it's mostly Ethan and Kelly McManus. He's probably going to get a lot of time. And you take advantage of that. And it'll probably be a situation where Jaden gets like a series against Detroit, and then you go with the rest of those guys after that. And that's really what you want for preseason, because you're not showing a lot, but you want guys out there that you want to see them in live NFL action against other guys that are trying to compete. Right? Like, yesterday, Ty Simpson looked really good, right? Like, Ty Simpson looked really good, but he played against third string guys. So if you're the Rams, you can say, hey, we feel really good about what Ty Simpson looked like. He's your third string quarterback going up against third string guys. But gave him an opportunity to be out in some real world, real NFL, real, like, he was 21 to 25, 190 yards and 2 touchdowns. No interceptions. Absolutely no interceptions. No mistake. Well, maybe a couple mistakes, but, you know, so you get that chance if you're the Commanders to get out there and see what some of your young guys can do. And that's really what the preseason is at this point. Like, does it hurt the NFL in the regular season? Some ways, yeah. The first 2 weeks tend to be extended preseason for a lot of teams. Some less than others, but it's why I point to the fact that running backs and running game in general is so important to start the year off, and your defense, because offenses still need a little more timing. They need to get a little bit more of just real, true NFL, fast-paced game experience together. And look, this Commander's offense has new pieces and a new system and a new coordinator, and there's a lot to work around there. And sure, they're doing it in camp. Sure, they're doing it in practice, but it's still just not the same. But I can imagine you probably won't see much of Jaden Daniels in the starters against Detroit. You'll see it for about a series, like we had last year, which they looked really good. Remember that? Against the Bengals, they ran the hell out of the ball. I was like, oh, Chris Rodriguez is finally going to get carries. Bill looks good. Oh, this is so great. And then we just never saw them run the football consistently. Thanks, Cliff. But, you know, you get these flashes, and it's really just kind of a tune-up. It's shaking the rust off there. And then the regular season hits, and that's where the defense kind of has to start doing a little bit more. And look, if Jaden Daniels is healthy, it's not going to matter. Marcus Mariota's sprained MCL now is not going to matter, other than he just needs to recover and be healthy. But the reason why it's so important to have a great backup quarterback, because it's literally one play, one moment, 1 second that can change the entire trajectory of an NFL season if your quarterback is hurt. And minor injuries, you're comfortable with Marcus Mariota out there in the short term. It's the long term. Like, Marcus Mariota is a backup because he's not going to be the type of quarterback that elevates all of the talent around him. The elite, great quarterbacks in the NFL are able to elevate all of the talent around them to some level of a degree, right? Patrick Mahomes has worked with a lot of walking brain farts at wide receiver, and he's made it work. I know they missed the playoffs last year. I know they were 6-8 before he got hurt, and it finally caught up to them because they were arrogant and didn't surround him really with enough talent there. Fine. But when you have Patrick Mahomes and you win all these Super Bowls, if you're the Chiefs, you can be a little arrogant with that. That you can. But at the same time, there are very few quarterbacks that can just be Superman, right? Mahomes is one of them. Josh Allen is one of them. I mean, how many else are there, really? Tom Brady was always that way when he's playing for the Patriots and they lacked receivers or cycled through receivers or ended up getting more out of somebody like a Wes Welker who was with the Dolphins as a returner, and they're like, he can be more, and he was. You know, there's there's the ability for quarterbacks to be able to elevate that talent around them that makes you as an organization more comfortable with whatever you have out there. But Jaden Daniels, had he been healthy for all 17 games last year, that team would have won more games just by itself, even with all of the injuries, even with Terry McLaurin missing time, because Jaden just brings a different dynamic to the offense. And there's pros and cons to that, because some of it involves the athleticism and the running ability, but it's also, I mean, the insanely accurate deep ball that Jaden Daniels has, the football IQ, the accuracy just in general, the ability to extend plays, all of these things coming together. Like, we know why Jaden Daniels is good. And that's why he's a starter and Marcus Mariota isn't. But you still have to have a quality backup, because it doesn't matter who you... Listen, Tom Brady didn't miss a lot of time either, but there was still one year where the Patriots needed a backup in Matt Castle, and that worked out for them. They didn't make the playoffs that year, but they had double-digit wins. Think about that for a second. But Matt Castle, and then what do? They traded him in the offseason. It's just so Patriots, so brilliant. It's like, his stock is high, let's trade him. It's not going to happen with Mariota, but again, you hope that he's not even out there at all. And Jaden Daniels is healthy. But that also then puts pressure on the rest of the offensive line, because the left side of the offensive line is a question mark. You've got Chris Paul winning the left guard spot essentially here, but it's not like there's an over level of confidence there. And you've got Laremy Tunsil, one of the best left tackles in the NFL, out for at least 4 months, if not longer. That's your quarterback's blind side. That's why when I talk about a trickle-down effect, right? One thing affects another thing. That's why Marcus Mariota's health is so important, because if your quarterback's blind side is not protected by the highest level of talent that you have, and maybe Brandon Coleman ends up looking like a great left tackle and we go, oh, he's finally grown. He's been working out with Laremy Tunsil. He's been learning from him. So it doesn't mean that he can't fill that spot well for Laremy Tunsil. But I'm sorry, if you think that Brandon Coleman is going to bring the same level of protection that Laremy Tunsil brought to the table, I'm just not that confident right now. I'd love to be proven wrong. Would absolutely love to be proven wrong. But right now, Jaden Daniels' blind side is vulnerable. And you think that other teams don't know that? Of course they do. And you hope that there's never a hit where he leaves the game. Of course. But you want to have somebody that's waiting in the wing, that's on the sidelines, that understands the assignment. And that's Marcus Mariota. Because listen, if you look at some of the defenses the Commanders are going to see this year, you think the Eagles aren't going to be going after Jaden Daniels' blind side constantly? You think Seattle's not going to do that week three? The Giants have some good edge rushers, too. You think they're not going to do that week five? You're going to see the Eagles again. You're going to have you're at the 49ers on Monday Night Football. Oh, and by the way, you'll have the Rams week nine, who may also have Aaron Donald back along with Myles Garrett. Okay? So the Commanders are going to see some tough pass rushes, and they are going to do everything they can to exploit that left side of the line, knowing that you have a weakness there without Laremy Tunsil. It's why left tackle is just so important. Backup quarterback is still really important. Again, all the most important positions in football are what relates to the quarterback, right? Quarterback's blind side, so generally left tackle, unless they're a left-handed quarterback. Edge rusher, guys that can get after the other team's quarterback. Anybody that comes in close contact with quarterbacks is really important. It's just how the NFL works. But it's good news to see that, again, Marcus Mariota, according to Adam Schefter, sprained MCL, so he's just going to be out the remainder of the preseason. Now, that could linger a little bit. There's a chance that that's the case. And, you know, you go into the regular season, and maybe they need another guy to be brought in. As of now, we haven't seen any news about them bringing another quarterback in, but we'll hear from Dan Quinn later today, and he may give us a little bit more on, you know, what they're, not that they're going to give you a ton, but they might give you something. So, and as John Kime points out on Twitter as well, like, yeah, you wouldn't have seen Marcus Mariota playing in the preseason finale. He's missed time each of the last two preseasons with minor injuries. So, like, in the end, we won't see Marcus Mariota for a while. And that's good. That's probably the best, is to not have anybody out there that already you know is going to make the roster. So they're in a better spot. So sprained MCL for Marcus Mariota. How's the preseason game with a trophy going, Wes?
Holland's out.
Quick update.
Arsenal up 3-0.
Look at that, 3-0, Arsenal over Man City.
I was actually looking at the screen for the third goal, so I got to
see it. So you got to see a goal this time.
I know. First two goals, I was looking at something else. I don't know what I was looking at.
You got to watch it. If they're way too close and they're in scoring position, in the red zone, if you will, in soccer, in their football, their version of the red zone, you got to be ready, my friend.
Inside that 18. I sent you COVID hair, but my version of it.
COVID hair? Oh, you sent me a picture. Oh, my God, you had an afro. This is you during COVID with your hair like this?
Yeah.
That is the large. That is an insane. You look like it looks like this is a picture of like your dad in the 80s.
I know.
Dude, you had a monster head of hair. Good for you. You're never gonna go bald. You're gonna be good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. There's not many. I don't think any guy in my family is bald.
That's good. They say it comes from your mom's.
Oh, you're
side,
right.
How your
you're
mom's right. dad is. That's what they say. I don't know if that's totally true. I'm not enough of an expert on that. I just want to keep my hair. That's all I care about.
That's a good point.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that was me.
That is a monster head of hair.
That would have been senior year of high school.
You need to put that on the interwebs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might keep that private.
I think you should put that public. Come on now. I do have a picture of me. It looks like a mugshot, but it was just me. I mean, it was the middle of COVID, and I just spiked my hair up, and it was super long, and it just looked like I actually looked similar to that, but it was less like curly. I have straighter hair. So, yeah. I think we all did it. We all lost our minds then. Let's be honest.
I couldn't get a haircut.
As somebody that needed a haircut, people had their wives giving them haircuts. My wife was like, I ain't doing that. I was like, yeah, it's probably best.
When I was little, I cut my hair once.
On accident, I'm assuming?
No, not on accident.
Like, you did it, and would you use clippers, or did you use scissors?
Just scissors.
And you just started randomly cutting? How old were you?
Oh, man, I got to be 7.
Okay. Now, was this your parents are like, oh, my God, look at what you did. How dare
no,
you? Or was
actually,
it like, oh, this is funny?
When we went to the, I don't know where we went, like Supercuts or something. I was super little. The lady said, you actually didn't do that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, good for you. I've never understood how people, I mean, if you're just shaving your head, it's one thing. But people that are able to really cut their own hair, that takes some serious talent.
I just started cutting.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the way to do it. So you just got thrown to the wolves and you learned on your own, didn't you?
Pretty much.
Good for you. Well, I'm glad that you got to see one goal in this friendly today. So
it's not even considered friendly. We learned that.
Or whatever. Oh, so it's not a friendly.
Yeah, so friendly would be anything outside a tournament, a league, or a cup. And this would be considered a cup game.
It's a cup game, but it's a preseason game with a fake trophy.
Essentially.
All right. So, okay, we've gone too far. Listen, I'm all for the pretend
meaning
to games. They're trying. They are definitely trying. I guess we could argue the NBA. At least the NBA Cup is regular season, though. We're making this a cup game, but it's just a preseason game. You know, again, there's meaning, and it looks like a sold-out stadium there.
Oh, so, yeah, it's sold out. So yeah. The Premier League is making a lot of money from this.
Dude, the preseason. Premier League is a monster. Have you watched Ted Lasso yet, by the way?
I have. I'm okay. Updated. Saw the... on Wednesday. It comes out every Wednesday. So
yeah.
I saw the
only seen
episode.
The first episode here, so right. Don't spoil anything.
The second episode's good.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. I mean, the whole first episode's a setup. You expect it. They're setting up the story. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's good to see it back. I love that show, man.
I know.
It's
so good.
So great.
Be a goldfish.
Yeah, be a goldfish, right? Be a goldfish. Memory of a goldfish. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Commanders will see the Eagles week one. Hopefully Marcus Mariota will be healthy, but you won't need him. If you missed it, breaking news, it is a sprained MCL for Marcus Mariota. He'll only miss the rest of the preseason, which is a big break for this team. Again, you hope you never have to go to him, but you got to have a good backup in the NFL. It matters. You got to have a good backup at the most important position in sports. So it's a lucky break for the Commanders. And if Jaden needs to miss a series or two, maybe you're more comfortable with Marcus Mariota than Sam Hartman, who's probably not going to make the team at this point. You know, and listen, it's good for the there's a feeling of calm that you have, not just because of that. I'm getting all these tweets from people. They're like, do you feel better? I'm like, yes, I do. All right? I feel better. It could have been a lot worse. But think about it. You've got the left side of the line that's in question. You got center that's in question right now. Then backup quarterback. I mean, if you're not protecting your quarterback, who got injured a whole bunch last year, and then he gets hurt, and you're going with a random dude at starting quarterback all of a sudden, you're going, oh, the season feels lost. I just don't want to go down that road again. But I feel better. And you should feel better, too. We all should feel better. And you should feel better that at least we're not the Eagles. Look, the Eagles' defense is absolutely elite, but they're going into another season with another offensive coordinator and a quarterback that apparently is rigid and doesn't like to adjust to the offense and got his leadership questioned. Now, was some of that A.J. Brown leaking that? Maybe, but it's clear that Jalen Hurts was kind of used as a scapegoat a little bit, and they're preparing him to be the scapegoat. Now, you know, if the Commanders are going to see the Eagles week one, and if the offense for the Commanders is a question in terms of just you don't know what it's going to look like, right? It's the same thing for the Eagles. They've got new receivers. They've got a new offensive coordinator. They have a quarterback that might be used in different ways. Because if you look, Jalen Hurts last year, his lightest rushing year since his rookie year. I mean, 421 yards on 105 carries. I mean, career lows since going back to 2020. So, you know, Jalen Hurts has not had the same play calling for him. And that was, you know, what drove Eagles fans nuts. Kevin Petullo, who everybody hated in Philadelphia, and he's gone. But the interesting thing here, so like, again, the Eagles have a new offensive coordinator in Sean Mannion that comes from a system in Matt LaFleur in Green Bay that actually kind of trickles down from the, I mean, it's really become the coaching tree of Mike Shanahan, right? Mike Shanahan, then Kyle Shanahan, all of the, I don't know, we hate talking about it, but all of the offensive minds that were in the Redskins organization at the time when Mike Shanahan was the coach, and then they all spread out and dispersed and were spread across the football universe, leaving their mark in their own way. And you have that trickle-down effect, essentially, where now you have a Sean McVay coaching tree and a Kyle Shanahan coaching tree and maybe a little bit of a Matt LaFleur coaching tree, where if Sean Mannion can utilize what – this is kind of my prediction, and I feel it's going to be this way a little bit for the Commanders, but definitely what you've got going on in Philadelphia, and it's something you'll probably see week one. I mean, the Eagles have a bunch of different receivers now, right? Like, that's really what the – I guess you could say the Band-Aid for what they had to do with A.J. Brown and trading him was, let's go out and get a bunch of guys. They trade for Dontayvion Wicks. They sign Hollywood Brown. You've got Mekhi Lemon, who you drafted. Devonta Smith is basically going to be your number one receiver. Elijah Moore is there, too. But like, they have the opportunity to really spread the ball around to different receivers. And I think that's the one thing the Commanders' defense is going to have to pay attention to week one, is that you are likely going to see an Eagles offense that looks similar to what they did in Green Bay when they had Dontayvion Wicks and, you know, Romeo Doubs there. They're no longer there, but what did Green Bay always do for years? And if you had any Packers receiver in fantasy, or you were brave enough to bet any props on a Packers receiver, what did they do? Well, they spread the ball around, and you had no idea whether Christian Watson was getting targets that week or Romeo Doubs was getting targets or whoever. And considering Mannion comes from that blueprint, you're probably going to see a lot of that week one, because yeah, Devonta Smith is going to be your de facto number one receiver, but, you know, he's limited physically. A.J. Brown, the one thing about him was you could throw up the ball to him. He's big, he's fast, he could do a lot of things, and he just wasn't getting the targets last year. It wasn't working. We all knew that was going to have to get changed there, but it all comes down to the quarterback, right? And Jalen Hurts. And are they going to, you know, put him in a spot where he's going to be under center? There's a lot of pre-snap motion, play action. A lot of those types of wrinkles are going to be there with apparently forcing Jalen Hurts to learn how to throw over the middle, which has been his limit for a long time. I would bet you see him running more against the Commanders week one. I would bet you're probably going to see him at least trying to throw over the middle, but that's an opportunity for like a Sonny Styles, a little pickoff, right? Frankie Louvu, throw it over the middle, linebacker jumps the route, boom. You get an opportunity there. But we don't know a lot of what this Eagles offense is going to look like week one. We're not going to see anything in preseason. So it's really two offenses week one for the Commanders and Eagles that are big question marks. And it's not even bad question marks, right? Like, David Blau is just not going to show anything in what this offense will look like. We will see surprises. They're practicing a bunch of trick plays. It's not like it's not happening. You might see one of those against the Eagles. Catch that defense off guard. It's, again, it's why I like the under in that game. And I think both offenses are, you know, with new coordinators and new pieces, the first couple weeks of the regular season in the NFL lean more to running backs. We've seen that. Touchdowns are up for running backs. Rushing yards, on average, are up for running backs the first couple weeks of the season. Really, even like the first month of the season, you see more of that. And Commanders have an opportunity, given what they saw in the preseason, with a bunch of different backs now that can really contribute to this team. And if you can couple that with guys you've already got on the roster, if you're the Commanders and you've got Catron Allen in a short yardage situation, and you've got multiple backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield, and you've got speed and all this creativity, like, there's a lot there. There's a lot there for them to be able to sneak up on the Eagles, because the question mark for the Commanders' offense is the same that we have for the Eagles' offense. So, yeah, it's the early part of the regular season is, it's preseason light in some ways. It's an extension of the preseason, and it is an advantage for this Commanders team to have, but I still maintain that doesn't matter who you have at quarterback or what the offense looks like, this defense has to be better, and they've got some of the pieces for it. They've got the opportunity to show that they can be better with the additions they've made, but they might have to carry this offense a little bit, or carry this team a little bit more. Maybe carry's not even the right word, But let's just say fill in some gaps. They might have to generate a couple of turnovers because the offense doesn't necessarily have their timing fully down. We'll get a little bit of a sample of it in the second preseason game. Nobody's going to play in the third. You've got joint practices and scrimmages and whatever, but it's nothing matches real NFL football in the regular season. And that's what this Commanders team is going to have to make sure that they're getting down. So when you get out there early in the regular season, they don't look like a completely lost offense. Because, look, you have to remember, too, Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs have never played together. And, yeah, they're going to be on the opposite side of the field a lot, but not always. I mean, David Blau is going to be moving dudes around. And you add Antonio Williams to the mix, you got a lot of pieces in a lot of different places, and they have to know where each other is on the field. That's one of the things that this team really missed out on last year, was having Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel out on the field together in practice, just kind of understanding when you've got some crossing routes and different things, it's just those little timing, those little details that you have to pay attention to that they just didn't have down last year. And Dan Quinn talked about it. I talk about this article, right, that John Keim wrote. I think it was really good with ESPN, where it was really about, you know, Dan Quinn and Jeremy Reeves is quoted in it as well. They were basically saying, like, hey, we kind of just thought we'd arrived already after 2024. They won 12 games. They went to an NFC Championship game. Like, yeah, they did. And he went back and looked at practices and OTAs and different things and watched the lack of sharpness and attention to detail. Attention to detail is what separates the greatest teams in the NFL. Those little things, your practice habits, your preparation, your daily and weekly routines, all of those things really, really matter. And for them to have the opportunity to go back, look at that, and say, we're not going to do that again, that hopefully goes a long way for them. I mean, listen, there's no guarantees. It's not like they don't have a tough schedule to just start the season off, but sharp now means surprises to start the year off. Because if this offense is a little bit sharper than maybe people would expect, and you catch the Eagles and the Cowboys the first 2 weeks of the season off guard, you know, you got Seattle week three and a defense that helped them, even though it's not the same as what was in the Super Bowl. It's still the core of that defense, or a lot of pieces of that defense that helped them win a Super Bowl last year. So, you know, there's something to be said for the surprise and also the sharpness coming together and really doing some damage to some defenses, especially early in the year. Because you want to really be able to survive this early first half of the schedule, if not more. I mean, it's a schedule, right? The Commander's schedule is rough. The first, like, 10 weeks. I mean, we're talking more than the first half of this season. So, again, Marcus Mariota, though, hopefully we don't have to see him on the field, but a sprained MCL. With that report now, it's at least, it's coming. Makes you feel better, right? Just in case, but you hope you never have to see him on the field. Nick Ashew on The Fan. So a bit of a sigh of relief. Adam Schefter reporting a few minutes ago, Marcus Mariota suffered just a sprained MCL. It's going to sideline him for the rest of the preseason. So it could have been a lot worse. Dan Quinn's going to speak later today. So now that that information's out, he'll be able to, you know, have a little more on that. But that's, look, it could have been a lot worse. And again, I know it's the backup quarterback, but when the left side of the line is in question right now and your quarterback had an injury plague season last year that's your starter, you got to have a good backup there. And the Commanders lack a lot of NFL experience after Marcus Mariota. So it's a good spot for this team to be in. Marcus Mariota going to miss just the rest of the preseason with a sprained MCL. I did see this too, Wes. Cristiano Ronaldo, your guy, says this is his last year right now. Is he playing in any fake tournament games today? Like Arsenal and Man City are?
That's a little far saying he's my guy. I don't think he's playing in any... does Saudi Arabia play in fake games? Probably.
I don't know.
I think the entire
league. I forgot he's even playing Saudi Arabia still.
Hey, all about the money for him.
I mean, did you see how much they were paying LIV golfers? I don't blame any of them for going over there. I'd do it too.
It is wild. I actually want to know exactly how much he makes. What's your guess?
Wasn't it something like $500 million or something like that?
It's gotta be.
I thought it was something crazy. I have no idea what it was, but I mean, you know, listen, longevity.
$235 a year.
How much?
$235 a year.
$235 million a year?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, why would you not take that? Like, I'm sorry.
Dude, that is insane.
It's insane money. I mean, why would you not take that? You're 41 years old and you're maximizing what's left in your career. I don't understand. Like, Russell Westbrook just retired. He would make so much money if he went and played in China for a couple of years. Stephon Marbury is a god over there. Russell Westbrook should go spend a couple of years playing overseas. We see it all the time in soccer, right? Dudes like finish their professional soccer career in the MLS, and look at Messi. Messi's got a part of the league. Like, he has equity in the actual league.
Forbes says he is worth 1.2 or 1.4 billion.
Who?
Yeah, Ronaldo is a billionaire officially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, you're making 235 or whatever it is a
year. Isn't that a supermax contract for the NBA throughout several years?
Depending on what it is. So, like, yeah, like, so for example, Anthony Davis wants a four-year, $275 million contract for over 4 years. That's what he wants from the Wizards or anybody else. I mean, he can't get it from anybody else. The Wizards have his bird rights. But, yeah, so think about that for a minute.
Dude, weekly earnings is 5.5.
Yeah. I mean, it's like nobody – here's the thing. This is why Liv – and I know it's Liv is dying, but like this is how you get people to – it's just money. You're going to pay people to come over and play in whatever your sport is. You're going to see more of this. Like it's going to happen.
Well, there was a report that – I'm not – I don't know how to – I don't know exactly what team he plays on. I don't want to pronounce it. I'll probably say it wrong. But they are having financial issues apparently.
Oh, yeah. They're overspending. I think it's Al Nassir or Nasser or something like that. Yeah. But like, again, look at what LIV Golf became. They're overspending because they think that even oil money starts to run out. Like everybody has their limit. If you push yourself to that limit, everybody has a budget. It's just where you push it. Even Elon Musk, who's a trillionaire, even though he doesn't actually have $1 trillion in the bank, like, he could sell everything, have $1 trillion in cash, but like he would still, it'd be hard to run out of that money. But he could. You can if you really want to.
I guess. I mean, he could buy every single NFL team, MLB team.
Oh, yeah. But again, if he really want, not that you could, but yeah, what would it take for Elon Musk to run out of money? You would have to buy entire leagues.
But he can buy, can he buy all professional teams in America?
Okay, so think about it like this. The Lakers were a record sale for $12.5 billion this week. If he bought every team in professional sports, you might have to do math here, take 32 teams in the NFL and average it out at, say, $10 billion. What's 32 times $10
billion?
320.
Billion.
Yeah, so see what I mean? Like,
okay, so we're getting up there.
We're getting up there. If he bought every team in the NBA on top of that, let's argue that you'd maybe close to double that. Let's say that's $600 billion total. Okay. He's worth, what, $1.15 trillion, give or take?
No, I think it went down.
It
goes up and down. I think he's at – let's just say if he was at a trillion, because I'm sure he'll get there again. I think he's at $850
billion. Yeah, I mean, it's up and down, right. It's the value of his companies things. It's all, you know.
So, yeah, he couldn't do that because he would run out of money if he tries to get all the MLB teams.
Not that he actually could buy every team, but again, you see, there are limits. Technically, anybody has a limit, a ceiling to what they can spend.
Wow, he can't buy the entire NFL, MLB, NBA, Premier League.
What a damn loser. Gosh, what a bum. I know. You know? But yeah, I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo, with how much he makes, it eclipses any NFL contract. It eclipses anything that Patrick Mahomes is bringing in.
$235 a year.
A year, yeah. I wonder, do you know what he was making before he got that deal?
At Man City?
Yeah.
I'll look.
Because I would imagine that's got to be, what, like 10 times? That's got to be like 10 times what he was making.
I mean, Man
United. It's got to be
10x. So he played for Man United. Let's see.
It has to be 10x. It's got to be.
Hold on. So he was making, $30 million a year.
Yeah.
$500,000 a week. Well, I guess quid a week. So that would be 600.
Again, US we're doing rough estimates here, but we're talking.
That was for Man United.
His money was basically almost 10x.
Yep.
Of course he's going to take it. But that's the thing too. Late in your career, that's way more than you're going to make anywhere else.
And it's crazy because he's playing on a team that if the views compared to Man City and Arsenal that we're watching today, this game is getting more views than the games he plays in.
Of course. But nobody watched LIV either. Nobody watched LIV Golf. A few people did, but Al Golf purists weren't watching it, and your audience is golf. So if you tried to make golf young and fun, it didn't work either.
I don't even know where to watch Al.
Right. It failed. It was a bad idea from the beginning. It was poorly planned. They just threw money at an idea, but there wasn't any real strategy to it, and it failed. And that's why. Because they spent way too much money, and they couldn't get any sort of return on it. It's like where AI is right now. AI, or there's money getting funneled into everything in AI, but you're not going to be profitable anytime soon. Because there's just the way that they're moving. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, if you're Cristiano Ronaldo at that point, though, if you're anybody, if LeBron wanted to go play overseas, if LeBron wanted to play next year in NBA Europe for a year or two, I mean, he could get the same amount of money. It would put actually, that's not a terrible idea. If LeBron went and played in the new NBA Europe that's starting next year, I mean, he could play at 43 years old, help build the league, maybe get some equity in the league. Oh, my gosh. I just thought about this on the blue.
So this is exactly what David Beckham did for the MLS. When he came over from, I guess, one of the teams in Europe, MLS gave him $25 million to own a team.
Yep.
And he ended up doing that for Inter Miami, and now he makes millions of dollars. They ended up trying to get out of the deal with him, and he said no.
Yep.
Take it.
Yeah.
And now he's worth millions more.
Equity. It's equity, man. Equity's the way to go. Equity in tech, equity in real estate, equity. Like, that's, you know, if you have the cash, equity in sports teams, like, it's even smaller teams. The value of sports continues to grow up and up and up and up. Sports is more popular than it's ever been before.
Yeah. So he went from Real Madrid, and then he signed with LA Galaxy for him to come over and, you know, of course, promote the league.
Yeah, yeah.
He got after retired, he'd get a team. And now, look at it. Now he's got Messi.
And I mean, but really, that's been the model for the MLS, is bring the aging stars over that aren't at the peak of their game anymore, but they still are insanely popular. They're big brands, and it helps market the league. So that's, I mean, you know what? I don't know if a lot of people realize this NBA Europe is going to be a big deal next year, especially because it's going to be competing against the second best league in the world and, you know, the Euro League that's out there. But if you get some older NBA players to go play there and give them serious money, you know, there's a possibility.
So
there.
It's honestly the same thing with soccer. Older players come to the MLS.
Yeah.
And now you can see old players in the NBA go over.
It's perfect.
Overseas.
If they do that, I think it's smart. It's a smart thing for the league to do. It's a smart thing for, you know, just building an international brand as a player. Like Russell Westbrook, if he retired and then came back next year and played in NBA Europe and played for the Real Madrid team that they're going to have in, I think they're going to have one, maybe, in NBA Europe. I mean, why not? You can prolong your career. Like Cristiano Ronaldo's playing for a freaking, yeah, a team that doesn't matter, but he's getting a ton of money and it's just prolonging his career if he still loves playing.
For all we know. I don't even know where to watch their games.
Right. But he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't need the exposure. It's just that is strictly about getting paid a ton of money to still play the game you love. I'm sure he loves still playing soccer, but he's getting paid $235 million a year to also do it. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So, yeah. And anybody that thinks that, like, NBA players get paid a lot of money, go look at what you get in F1 and, you know, soccer. Oh, God. You are so much more worldwide in those sports.
Ronaldo's 41 Cricket. Years old. He struggled in the World Cup. I think it's time for him to call it.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. All right, Nick Ashew on the Fan. We get to breathe a sigh of relief. Marcus Mariota just a sprained MCL in that preseason game, according to Adam Schefter. So it's the rest of the preseason and nothing more. At least that's the hope. And this team's going to take it cautiously, especially in the preseason. Marcus Mariota doesn't need preseason. You know, at this point, he's a veteran. And you hope you never have to see him on the field. You hope it doesn't matter, but you take those sprained MCLs seriously because it can lead to stuff that's a lot worse. And, you know, the good thing is for the Commanders is beyond that, now that we can breathe a sigh of relief with that report from Adam Schefter, Dan Quinn's going to talk later today as well. You know, this Commanders team doesn't have a quarterback controversy, a quarterback battle in preseason. The amount of times we've gone through that over the years has been, I mean, just insane, right? Think of how many times, I know I've certainly done it. I have gone down the list before, right, of just like the amount of starters that this team has had and thought about all of the times that I've justified why said name could actually work out for this team. Like a John Beck, a Rex Grossman, somehow thinking that Donovan McNabb getting traded by the Eagles was going to work out for this team and they weren't fleecing the entire organization. You know, listen, Alex Smith was fine. I mean, think about the year. We had Alex Smith, Josh Johnson, Colt McCoy, and Mark Sanchez starting for this team. Case Keenum, I remember that. I was like, Case Keenum could be pretty good, right? Like, you know, he just needs an opportunity to start. I've been that way a million times. And it's, you know, Carson Wentz, the retreads. And these are just some. We could talk about Tony Banks and Jeff George. And, you know, you go into this season now with the, obviously, the hope and the prayer that Jaden Daniels is healthy the entire season. But if that's the case, there's a lot more hope and there's a lot more stability to this offense because that's still the most important position. And you're not the Falcons or the Vikings right now that are just trying to figure out what their quarterback situation looks like. It could be even worse. You could be a Cardinals fan. They have some, I think. Jacoby Brissett, I mean, great backup. But that you're going into a season with Jacoby Brissett basically nailed down as the starter. That's like going into a season with, well, Case Keenum, I guess, or whoever, Rex Grossman, John Beck, I don't know. I mean, Sam Howell. Sam Howell started an entire season. The difference was he was a little bit younger. But, you know, you just know, you're like, that's our bridge quarterback. That's for now. Doesn't give you a lot of hope for a season. And I'm not surprised that Kyler Murray won the starting job in Minnesota. It's just now they've got to figure out what happens. Think about that, because if you're the Falcons or you're the Vikings, both those teams who also drafted quarterbacks after the Commanders drafted Jaden Daniels a couple of years ago, they're already looking at other options at quarterback. Now, Tua had a rough start. He was 3-5, 22 yards, fumbled a snap in his preseason game for the Falcons. So, you know, that didn't look great, but again, we have to temper our expectations a little bit with what you see in preseason. There are some levels of experiments, like go try this, go learn this. Like, it's meant to be a learning experience. The problem is there's just cameras on you. That's why it's so important in practice to try everything you can when nobody's watching, when they restrict the media, so you can actually try some things that you don't want anybody seeing yet. But Michael Penix Jr., even though the injuries he's had, has an opportunity to still start in Atlanta. But Kyler Murray won that job right away in Minnesota. And you knew it. Like, they weren't going to go out and sign Kyler Murray if they didn't see him as a potential starter. But if you're the Vikings, you draft J.J. McCarthy in a historic draft where six quarterbacks were taken in the first 12 picks. He misses his entire rookie season because he's hurt. So it's not like he sat behind Sam Darnold. He was hurt. So he missed out on opportunities to grow and learn. I mean, yes, you can watch film. Yes, you can do some things. You're not out there. You're rehabbing first. That's the most important thing. So that set him back a season. Then J.J. McCarthy's the starter after Sam Darnold leaves and goes to the Seahawks. Well, he's hurt again, and then he looks really bad and unprepared and not ready to start with, like, a couple of drives where he looked like a legit starting quarterback in the NFL. And then they deal with more injuries, and that Viking season was basically completely lost with one of the best wide receiver groups in the NFL. Nobody's getting the football. Justin Jefferson made irrelevant. Again, that's the bad thing about receivers. If you're not getting the football, they can't do anything. They're overpaid decoys. But now, heading into year three for J.J. McCarthy, they have brought in a veteran that's already won the starting job, who has his own injury history. So yeah, there's a chance J.J. McCarthy is going to be out there anyway for the Vikings. But they're already looking at other options. Life comes at you fast in the NFL. And if you get quarterback wrong, you know almost right away if a guy just doesn't have it. It doesn't mean that they can't get better, but you sometimes just know, okay, this guy just doesn't have it. You just know that it's Heath Shuler, and you go, oh, this is not going to work. Like, this guy just doesn't have it. And you can set your organization back years, and the Commanders aren't in that spot. There's a lot of teams that go into training camp now, and the mindset is, we're going to run the football and have a good defense because that's the only way we're going to win. Commanders don't have that, at least. And it's good to have Marcus Mariota with just a sprained MCL, but hopefully not need him at all. But it could have been a lot worse. Because they could be looking for somebody out there, like bringing in Jeff Driscoll, which maybe they still do. He's out there. He's been part of the organization. You need another arm for camp. Mariota's going to sit. He's also missed, what, the last two preseasons with injuries? So it could have been a lot worse. So we can breathe there. I'd much rather have a running back controversy or a wide receiver on the back end of the depth chart controversy for the Commanders than a quarterback controversy. That's for damn sure. Nick Ashew on the Fan.